hyperbole. An advice podcast where two brothers
and Kyle
make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Seven?
Hyperbole.
Welcome to Hyperbole Podcast. We are proud to announce that my name is Stefan. And I'm your first host here at Hyperbole Podcast.
Hi, my name's Anthony, and I'm the second host.
Yeah, my name is Kyle, and I'm the third host.
Whoa. So you got your three hosts for Hyperbole Podcast, a self-help podcast for the helpless. We also are carrying with us, in our arms, a special guest. We're cradling him. His name is Rand.
Swaddled.
That is my name, indeed.
We're so happy to have you here on this podcast. Why don't you tell us, just as is tradition with Hyperbole guests, a little bit about yourself, height, weight, eye color, sexual preferences, age, that kind of stuff.
All right. I'm 6'8". I'm 128 years old. My eye color, I'm colorblind, so I actually don't know that. That's about it.
Oh, well, glad to have you on the show. Rand is also a self-certified self-help expert, so he's going to be a guru, just like, did I say that word right? A guru.
G-O-O-R-U.
That is so hard to say, especially for being a guru. A guru? Maybe it's a soft U? A guru. But anyway, so we're going to go ahead and get into the advice. But before we do, we'd like to read some praise that has been showered upon us. It's another review from Apple Podcasts. And it's from another...
We could use a shower.
We could use a shower. So we decided to take those stars and scrub them all over our body. Anthony, yeah. Would you like to read this review from this person?
I would love to. So this review comes from Apple Podcasts. Here goes. Hyperbole. Glasses face. 5 stars.
It's sunglasses face, not glasses face is a completely different emoji.
Well, they're kind of cool. Oh, yeah, I guess they are sunglasses. I just can't see that well from here. 5 stars. Super funny podcast that will undoubtedly make you laugh. The chemistry is great between the three of them.
Wait. You have to do a voice.
What?
You have to do a voice.
Super funny podcast.
Wait. You have to do a different voice.
Super funny podcast that will undoubtedly make you laugh. The chemistry is great between the three of them. Very clever dishing up advice you most certainly should not take in the most entertaining comedic way. What the fuck does that mean? Great podcast, boys. Keep it up. Hef the pup. I don't know what the fuck that means. Hef the pup. It's going to be my new catchphrase. Hef the pup. thank you. Is that his name? Hef the pup?
Yes, you did. God damn it. I don't know why I ask you to read things. You've got the reading level of a second grader every time. Okay. But if you guys would like to leave a review, we love it and we scrub ourselves with those stars. So leave one on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Leave it on Stitcher. Before we get into the advice, I think we're going to go into our weekly quote. So this was originally the segment of Why So Wisdom, where Tommy Wiseau thought it would be cool for him to leave his own quotes on Instagram, but nobody really understood what they meant, so we tried to decipher them. He caught wind of that. He doesn't do that anymore. So we're just going to take a weekly quote from some of the greats, some of the people that we look up to, and we're going to decipher them and interpret them, and we're going to try and help focus our weeks around that quote, and we hope you do the same. So this quote is, "Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall." And that's not by Tommy Wiseau, that's by Confucius. I know that might have been confusing. You guys are like, maybe Tommy. Confucius. So let's try and break this down. Kyle, what do you think this means?
Wait.
No, Anthony, go ahead. Yeah. Do you want to read it?
You just read it.
I know, but you know.
It's not ever falling, but it's rising every time we fall.
God, that was actually a lot better than the review, but okay.
It's because it was one sentence.
Yeah. Was there any punctuation for me to stop?
There were almost no commas in there. Yep. Okay. Good. Anthony, what were you going to say, though?
Oh, I was just, what? This is actually like kind of inspiring. I don't know why we chose this.
We chose this because the humor is we can take this in a completely different way.
We're putting it on its head.
Let me. Hold on. I'm going to pause I'm going to pause the recording for 15 minutes while I explain comedy to you. Is that okay?
I mean, that would probably be helpful in a lot of ways, but let's keep going. I think I'll figure it out.
Okay. Anyway, Kyle, what do you think this quote means to you, to your heart?
My own personal experience is I saw this quote actually up on the wall at the old folks' home I used to work at, because there were a lot of falls at that particular old folks' home, many of them fatal, but they didn't always have to be, and there were many that did get back up every time that they fell. So it was actually pretty inspiring. I mean, I agree with Anthony. It is an inspiring quote, especially in that context.
Some of these old people were not taking this quote seriously.
Well, yeah, no, we got a bunch of bad apples, but they're gone now. So, you know.
So I'm going to ask you, if they fell but didn't get back up, did you just go right to their face and scream, "Our greatest glory is never in falling, but rising every time we fall. Get up! Get up!"
Yes. Confucius said that, all right?
Get the fuck up.
Okay. Dead arm, I'm like...
So the other question, the follow-up question is, where's the pile that I figure in Sparta they have the pile for the rejects? Did you also do that at the old folks' home, where if they fell, didn't get back up?
Yeah, they've been pureed into the the big vat of applesauce that we're gonna feed to the rest of them.
Oh my god!
They need their protein. I mean,
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
That kind of sounds like a feeding trough for McDonald's cows. So that's great.
Welcome to Soylent Green Nursing Home.
Oh my god. Okay, but I think this is great. So Kyle, what this quote says to you is when you literally fall on the ground, it's glorious to just get back up.
Yes, there's a great honor and glory in that, I think. And respect.
Well, I would say that, you know, Confucius seems like a bit of a plagiarist, man. I'm pretty sure that's what Thomas Wayne said to Bruce Wayne in Batman Begins. Something about what happens when we fall, we get back up.
I feel like Sylvester Stallone said this in Rocky, too. Didn't he say something like that?
I don't know if I've ever seen Rocky.
Yeah, but I think Rocky said that too. That was one of his famous speeches where he's like, "It doesn't matter how hard you get hit, but it matters how much you get hit and keep going."
That was in his later years after the post-concussions.
That was when he went to the old folks' home and saw that on the wall. So the Kyle worked out.
He got up every time.
Yeah. Okay, so this is great. So I think what we really need to reflect on is if you do fall on the ground, it's glorious to get back up. It's quite shameful to fall, but it's very glorious to get back up. So let's try and remember that and lace that into our advice as we give it in the next section. Speaking of the next section is called Beef! And this is the part where we, the meaty section of the podcast that we've all been waiting for, that we bite into, where there are so many questions and we just chew on those questions together. So I regurgitate what I've chewed into Kyle's mouth. He does that. And then he's going to spit into Rand's mouth since he's a special guest. And then it's going to go into Anthony's mouth. And then we spit out advice. So it's going to be...
Why am I the end of the fucking human centipede?
I don't know.
More of a bird situation, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, I could turn it around into a human centipede where We stitch our mouths to our buttholes, and then I chew it, eat, digest it, and then poop it into Kyle's mouth. But I won't do that because this is a highbrow comedy podcast. Anyway, so we take some questions, and then we give them advice. So, first question. Kyle, would you like to read this first question, please?
I would very much like to. Is it rude to rush people when they're dragging out a story? Oh, boy. I have a buddy that talks slow. Oh. And when he tells stories, he tends to give a lot of unimportant information. He usually triples the length of his story and sometimes more. And by now, I've got a pretty good sense when he's dragging.
Oh, my God.
Is there some way to interrupt him and tell him he's dragging the story out without being rude?
Jesus, get on with it.
I've mentioned it to him before, and he's acknowledged it, but nothing changed. Sincerely, Rush Limbaugh in Russia.
I really
is that dragged out enough?
I really like, Kyle, how you took the person that's asking how to be patient or rush somebody in that's telling a story, and you actually made him super slow. So I'm sure that the person that he's asking about is five times as slow. So this is like, I don't know if we're dealing with people from
a colony of sloth people.
Yeah.
Hey, it teaches patience. I mean, you know, you never know if you let them go and get done with their story, it might be worth fucking listening to. Actually, his question wasn't really worth listening to, but I still dragged it out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, if we want my take on it, yeah, I guess it's rude. I mean, geez, if somebody had been like, hey, what are you doing? I would have been like, oh, okay, hey, that's kind of rude. I would have probably said it was rude. But, you know, I mean, maybe...
You get to the point, Kyle? Come on!
Okay, so anyway...
like, is that rude, you know?
It all started, yeah. Oh, that hurt my feelings. Oh. Yeah, no, it is rude. I've just changed my position. It's rude now. I mean, now that it's happened to me. Okay.
Yeah, that medicine's pretty bitter going down, isn't it, Kyle?
Yeah, I actually agree. This, yeah, people need to talk faster.
I mean, I feel like you can do a couple of non-verbal pushes to indicate that the story is dragging on a little bit. I think one thing you could do, this happens to me a lot, is you could just pick your phone out of your pocket and just start scrolling on Instagram. So when they're telling the story, he sees that you're not paying attention because you don't really care. So
get the hint.
Yeah,
that's
so,
like, not rude at all, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You could also show him
the story too. Be like, look at her, like, laugh and then show it to him.
He took it out. My cousin had a kid.
Or what you could do, I think I got a couple here. Or what you could do is non-verbally, you could just have your two index fingers, you could clench your fist, but stretch out your two index fingers, and then have them start making the rolling motion, and then just continue to make that go faster and faster and faster. So he gets that, and he's like, okay, gotta go faster. So he picks it up. Next thing you could do, pull out your phone, press record, and then walk away. And then so you'll get the cliff notes of it. You can just listen to it later. And then he'll get the feeling that you don't have time for that because you're a busy man or woman.
He'll get the feeling. Like,
oh, no. And then the last one, this is verbal, but then you could say, after he says the full story, you could say, oh, so basically you picked up your dog at the dry cleaner. And then he'll be like, oh, yeah. So in one sentence, you can summarize his story. So maybe he can get the hint that he should summarize his stories instead of going into excruciatingly painful detail.
You might miss the detail about how they missed the stain on his dog and how he had to take it back to the dry cleaner to get it taken out.
Taking your dog to the dry cleaner?
Stefan thought he was picking up his dog from the dry cleaner.
I mean, it was going. probably a good. Okay.
Does he have a dog coat or is he taking his dog to the dry cleaner?
Okay,
was
so that's
dog's shirt.
All right, let's do a test. Yeah, I'm gonna tell the story of how I took my dog to the dry cleaner, and then you guys just put in a buzzer when you guys think that that's enough, and then we'll do like America's Got Talent when all three buzz in, then I'm done. Okay.
Okay.
So let's go all the way back to when my dog was born. So I had Okay. All right. See, so that's too much. So let's fast forward a little bit. Okay. So my dog had some really bad cramps one day, and then I saw that he had some external marks that looked like they had resulted from wine stains from a rager that I had last night. Are we still good, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. You baited the hook well.
Okay, good. So I was having a wine rager with my bros and my gals, and we just got crazy. We didn't really prepare for all the spillage that would happen after one or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or 10 or 11, 12 or 13 or 14 glasses of wine. Okay, I was waiting. I got all the way to 14.
Irrelevant.
Okay. Anyway, so I ended up spilling a shitload of wine on my dog, Barkakis. So the next day he went from a white and brown to a rosé. So I had to figure out what was happening because I was still hungover. Okay, this story is boring to me. I'm buzzing myself out.
Okay. Remember they used to do that thing in school where you have like a triangle and you write like the three main points of the story, and that's what you should stick to.
Yeah.
Those three main points. I had a dog that got some wine spilled onto him. I took him to the dry cleaner. When I came to pick him up, punchline.
That's a good idea.
I like that.
Don't even do that. Just leave it as an Instagram story. Just post three pictures of your dog before, during, and after, and then do hashtag whoops, hashtag rosé all day, hashtag bro time, or some shit. Like, three hashtags.
What's bro time? Is that when you pick him up and he's not clean?
I don't know. Oh, you and your dog might be bros. Who the fuck knows? It just adds a little flavor. It's like a little Cajun seasoning on some grilled chicken, okay?
Okay.
I'm sorry, do you have some better hashtags that you want to incorporate into the story?
No, I don't understand hashtags. Hashtag my dog's not clean.
Okay, that one's...
I don't know how well that's going to trend, but...
You need some alliteration in there.
Yeah, what about hashtag dirty dog? Yes, that's what I was about to say.
Hashtag dirty dog.
Hashtag spot on spot. Hashtag...
Oh, that's a good one.
Damn.
That's a good one.
All right.
Hashtag wine on canine. Fuck. Guys, can we just have this happen to our dog so we can actually do this? Does anybody have a dog? Yeah, Anthony, you have two. So
no,
let's get,
no,
let's get
not my, my dogs are too precious for
you
wine.
You got a good
stains.
Dog to spill some wine on, too.
That's true. I have a white dog. It would be a perfect wine spill dog.
All right, I'm going to bring over some Franzia. Let's just...
No! You can't spill Franzia on my dog. You bring over some fucking Silver Oak, and then we'll talk, okay?
All right, fine. We'll work out the details later. But anyway... Yes, like Rand said, 3 points like in a story or Instagram story with just three hashtags.
Okay. Hashtag advice.
Yeah.
Yes. Hashtag resolved. Kyle, Anthony, anything that you guys would like to add to the story?
Nope.
Oh!
That's pretty good. You know, we pretty much covered it. I could go at length. I've got a problem. Okay, all right. Okay, it looks like I've been buzzed out here. So, okay, all right, fine. Yeah, it's rude, okay? That's rude.
Okay, let's move on from that question and roll on into our new segment of judging a book by its cover. That's not really that new because we've been doing it for like 17 episodes. But... judging a book by its cover, in case you don't know what it is, there are so many good self-help books out there, but nobody really wants to read. So what we do is we take the hard work of figuring out what a book is about just by looking at its cover, and then we tell you about it. So that way you can sound really smart when you're having wine parties with your bros and accidentally spilling your Merlot all over your boxer or whatever the fuck you do. So I just described... a scenario I think I would only see in hell. Yeah. Anyway, So this book, this self-help book is called Hardcore Self-Help, Fuck Anxiety. So boys, what do we think that's about?
I think it's about making your anxiety, making it into an object and then dominating it in a sexual way so that you don't have it, have to answer to it anymore. So you turn that anxiety into a pillow or, something else that you fuck. I don't know. And you fuck away your anxiety.
That's pretty good. Pretty straightforward. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing or very similar lines. I was thinking that when you I was thinking something the same except different. But what I was thinking that when you have a little alone time and you're ready to make love to yourself, to put it in the best way possible.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Like you lit some candles.
When you're ready to love yourself, instead of thinking about what you usually think about, you should think about something that makes you extremely anxious and then just start loving away. Just pump and thrust to the project that you have to finish by end of week, or Barbara in accounting that just keeps giving you shit because she keeps reminding you about those invoices. So just close your eyes, try and soak up every single sense or sensory input from those scenarios, like the voice of Barbara, her shrill voice. It's like, why don't you give me those invoices? Or your boss being like, that project has to be done by blah, blah, blah. And then just shoot your seed. And then the anxiety will be flushed through you.
God. So you're saying develop a dependence on anxiety for sexual pleasure.
I'm saying develop a fetish towards your own anxiety. And that will allow you to relieve yourself in the most satisfying way.
I thought I was the fucking garbage host. What happened?
Bro, you've contaminated me. We didn't quarantine.
I stained you with my rosé, and you're never getting clean.
I need to go to the dry cleaner because we did not quarantine your dirty, nasty jokes, and now I've got it. And so I was just, for the next 5 minutes, I was just going to like poop, 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 poop. So it's out of control. I need to stop. And Kyle's going to get tainted soon, too. So watch your taint, Kyle.
Oh, no.
Or rather, watch my taint.
Please stare at Anthony's taint so that it doesn't get you.
That taint it, you know?
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I was thinking. Kyle, do you have anything that's less erotic?
Yes, actually. I think that I know because I read it, obviously. This is actually documenting a bitter rivalry from a depression, a tangential emotional state that doesn't really want anxiety around and, you know, basically hates anxiety. I mean, depression wants the space all to itself, and anxiety is kind of wedging into its turf. You know, so fuck anxiety. You know, that's what depression is saying. Like, fuck anxiety. You know, like it's trying to assert its dominance.
Oh, I thought it was self-help.
Okay. Well, depression can be helpful. I mean, you know,
I would put depression over anxiety as far as like things I'd rather have.
obviously.
Okay, so it's about the battle between your own foibles.
Fibbles. It's fibbles.
I don't know the words. Fibbles. Whatever the word is, I don't
fibbles,
know.
Fibbles and bits. That's what it is.
Fibbles and bits.
A tasty morsel for canines. It helps their fur get cleaned of wine stains. Don't ask me how I know.
With their anxiety. Side effects include depression.
Oh my god.
In fucking dogs.
Yeah.
Your dog's like, I don't really want to think about sad dogs.
That's like,
yeah, let's, okay, we're going to crash in the guardrail of not funny shit. So let's get back on the funny road. our audience is going to leave this podcast and be like, fuck my life. Fuck anxiety. I'm depressed.
Fuck anxiety.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Randy, you have any theories here?
Well, I was kind of agreeing with Anthony, but less of a sexual overtone, more of a just a straight violent overtone. Like, you know, this anxiety, like, me and the boys are going to get together. We're going to fuck anxiety up. Like, you know, shit like that.
So you're going to actualize anxiety into an object and then beat the shit out of it.
So you're it's saying that. You know,
they cope. Like, they do that. They treat their wife. They dump it into another person.
Got it. So,
and that
so
is, what, of course, quite healthy.
Perfect. So what you're saying is this book is about identifying the person that gives you the most anxiety and just fuck them right up.
Not just that, but more like identifying the person that you can blame for your anxiety.
Perfect.
They might not necessarily be the cause of it, but
you could pin it on them.
Yes, you could.
Lovely. Okay, so I think we've reached a general consensus of doing really just violent and dirty things to anxiety, whatever that might be. So if somebody brings up this book, let them know what it's actually about. Okay, moving on. Rand,
you are armed and ready for your dinner parties.
Rand, would you, as a guest, like to read question two? Because, you know, question one we didn't want to give to you, but question two, certainly.
Sounds good. This person says, how do you look people in the eyes during conversation? I feel so awkward staring into someone's face during conversation, and I find that it makes it easier to lose focus on whatever we're talking about. Which fucking eye do you pick? I typically have to look towards the floor, a wall, or a nearby object to fully gather my thoughts and communicate them. But I also feel like this is noticeable and even more awkward. Is this normal? Are there any ways to not be such a heckin' weirdo? Sincerely, I am confused in Mississippi. That's E-Y-E, apostrophe M. Now an apostrophe is like a comma, but raised up.
And there are four I's in Mississippi, so... Also, wanted to
oh, right. Yeah, there are.
Also, I think Mississippi is spelled wrong. I think there's supposed to be two P's, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's better. what a good question. I feel like I don't know if I'm on the spectrum or not, but I also have a difficult time looking at people right in the eyes. So I can't answer this question for you.
Wait, what's the electromagnetic spectrum? What spectrum are you on?
I feel like I'm on the electromagnetic spectrum. So.
Stefan's at about 451 nanometers.
Anthony, spectrum internet.
Can we? I thought we had talked about you talking about things that I don't fucking understand. Okay, it makes me look real dumb. We talked about this. God damn it.
I'm sorry, Stefan. That's the last one.
We talked about blacklisting science as a genre altogether, okay? Can
you
just...
Oh my God.
What microwaves are, Anthony.
What if you do like Daredevil and you just pretend that you're blind? So you just wear... I think that'd be kind of cool because you get to wear sunglasses wherever you want and you can look wherever you want too. Maybe?
Yeah, I guess, but wouldn't they know that you're not blind?
I mean, you could do everything else like you're not blind, so you can walk around and do other things, like read a book or watch TV.
Like you're playing catch with them and they strike up a conversation and then you're just like, oh, I don't know, and then the ball hits you in the face.
Oh, dude. Or maybe you could do like fucking Cyclops or Reading Rainbow Guy, where you just have a big old band across your eyes. So it's like an accessory, as East Coast people say, but you're not blind. You just have, tell them you have very powerful laser vision. So if you look them in the eye, it's dangerous.
I need to control them. You need Oakleys to control your laser vision.
Oh, fuck.
All right, so do you pick an eye, or what do you... What?
I just don't do it. I just don't look people in the eye very much. I just avoid it. Yeah. People are okay with it, you know.
What about if you just looked them in the eye so fucking hard and intensely that it scares the shit out of them, and then they look down, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore, so you can look down too. Yeah,
exactly. And that's a total power move too. Like, that's always on the table as an option.
Yeah. Yes. So like, make it a dominance thing.
Yeah, exactly. Show them that you're the most dominant, and then it's kind of a kindness. So you are saving everybody from an awkward situation by staring them intensely in the eyes for a full 10 seconds.
So you're going to fix this problem in the world by staring everyone in the eye until they feel submissive and look away. So the world will then be full of people who don't look each other in the eye, and then you who only looks people in the eye.
Oh, you know what? I did mention this on a previous podcast, but I think it could relate to this advice. So when I was living in New York, well, when I was working in New York, and I would walk home to the train station. Anthony?
Yeah?
If I could look you right in the eye right now, I would. But I was walking, it was about a 15-minute walk, and probably 11 of those 15 minutes, there was a crazy man behind me screaming at the top of his lungs, "What the fuck are you looking at?" And he just kept saying it to everybody, to every single person. And the voice got closer and closer and closer, so I was like, fuck, I can't look him in the eye, or else he's gonna ask me that, and then I'm gonna have to say something to him. So I was trying to walk fast and then think of a response just in case he asked me. So you could scream at the top of your lungs if somebody does look at you and be like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" I feel like that would be very effective.
You don't even have to worry about looking people in the eye. They're definitely going to look away.
Mm. Oh my God.
They will. Yes, they will look straight away. So that's another option for you. All of the options that we've given so far are very aggressive, but that's okay. Super aggressive.
This episode's taking a very dominance-centric vibe.
My advice, in all seriousness, is just look at their eyes, just grit your teeth, just do it. Just do it. Force yourself to do it. You're going to be uncomfortable. Just do it.
Just do it, you weirdo.
Away, you know?
Yeah, every time you feel uncomfortable, just remind yourself about what a weird fuck you are for not wanting to look people in the eyes. I think
yeah, they ask like, "Is this normal?" It's like, no, it's not, you weirdo. Like, I'm just kidding. I don't mean to be so rude. But you know what I do? I cross my eyes and look straight at them. That'll seal the deal, you know? Like, they're not going to even try to step to you.
Good old lazy eye, Kyle.
That's really good. Because if you had two people that you were talking to, you could look at both of them at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, do you think chameleons have social anxiety?
Yeah, that's normal. Okay, that is normal. Two eyes looking in completely fucking different directions.
So yeah, take your answer from nature and learn how to point your eyes at different people. And then you can be zoned in on that conversation. Or you can focus each eye on one of their eyes so you can look at both eyes equally. And you don't have to pick which eye.
Wait, while you're cross-eyed, or is this
no? Because you're like a chameleon, you can just point your eyes at their eyes.
Also, I don't feel like chameleons do cross-eyed as in inverse. I feel like they look outwards.
Well, but they can. I don't know. Maybe I don't know that much about chameleons.
Okay, perform a surgery that allows your eye sockets to just expand so that you can look like a chameleon. I feel like that would be the best. That would look so fucking scary. If you just...
Yeah.
But do it. Whoa. You know, it'll help you avoid predators and such. Okay, so I think if we're going to list all of the advice that we gave, go cross-eyed, get surgery to be able to look like a chameleon, both cross-eyed and lazy-eyed. Use a visor like Reading Rainbow Guy or Cyclops.
That one's my favorite.
Or pretend you're blind just when you're looking at people. Or just say, what the fuck are you looking at, very loudly. Or stare at them for 10 full seconds, very menacingly.
Lots to choose from, you know?
So much. That was a garden variety of advice. All organic.
We're nothing if not thorough.
And speaking of thorough, here's a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Now we're going to read our final question. I'm going to read it. Okay, our final question.
There wasn't much like a gusto around the final
question. Our final question. How do I make a visit at a barbershop not weird? I've barely ever been at one alone, and I tend to not say anything, and shit gets weird. Any tips to prevent this? Phrases or something, I don't know. And that's from somebody that I didn't put their name. Sincerely, Barbara.
Hanna-Barbera.
I think we actually used Hanna-Barbera. But fuck
did
it.
We? Oh,
fuck. Whatever. Right. Sincerely, Hanna-Barbera.
Well, they can ask. Barbarism.
What I do is I go to an establishment that they show sports on the television. And it's really nice because I don't really give a shit about sports in general. But I get to pretend like I do. So I have like a reason to not talk to them. So I watch whatever is happening.
That makes sense.
And then I have a purpose for not talking to them, as opposed to just a regular barbershop where they're like, how's your day going? And you're like,
yeah, right.
Ugh.
Like, I don't give a shit about any of that kind of small talk. But like, I don't give a shit about sports either. But I'd take the sports just over the shitty small talk.
Yeah, at least you can see people getting like hurt and shit.
Yeah, right.
I was gonna say, Rand, you know what you could do is you could go to the sports clips or whatever barbershop has all sports all the time, and you could just ask them if they can change the channel to like Cartoon Network or whatever you want to watch.
Can you put on Ellen?
Do you guys have Nick Jr.? Can you put on Nick Jr.? The next time I do that, I'm gonna go there. I feel like that's part of the job, right? If you're a barber, you have to own it, because you're the one that has to sit there all day and cut hair. So I feel like Babra, or whatever your name is that's asking this question, you have to feel the barber. So just take your hand and cover their face like a blind person. We're going back to being blind again. And then if you feel their energy and they're a talkative person, then you know you're going to be in for a good ride. But if they're not, then just don't talk and it's fine. I don't feel like you should feel uncomfortable.
So is that like the staple of a good barber, is someone, not necessarily how well they cut your hair, just how much they talk to themselves?
I would, yes, and I would almost rather have a shitty haircut, but some good conversation than no conversation and a really good haircut. Almost. Like, they come in and I'm like, dude, you only shaved the left side of my head. And they're like, yeah, but good talk, right, brah? And I'm like, yeah, good talk.
It was.
It was.
The real haircut was the friends we made along the way.
Well, anyway. You know, I mean, I think a way to get past that completely is to get a barber who has taken a vow of silence.
A Buddhist barber.
Oh, yeah,
Buddhist barber.
Are you talking about? Are you talking about monk cuts?
Monk cuts, yeah, dude. I go to them all the time. I go every day, and they are every day. And they don't speak a word. They just look at me cross-eyed, and that's about it. And there's literally no words exchanged.
It's a great idea. They only do one type of cut, which is just shave it all bald, but you don't have to worry about the talking. So that is good.
No,
that's a pro.
Every day I go there and I don't have to worry about the talking. So yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So, Kyle, why do you go there every day?
Buy monk cuts.
I mean, it's, you know, I need to keep it really short. Like, my, like, it needs to be bleeding. Like, and,
How do they do monk cuts? Do they actually have a chair, or do they just kind of go on their knees and you just lay down?
No, you sit on a pillow.
You sit cross-legged style.
Yeah. Oh, duh. Okay. Sorry about that.
Cross applesauce.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can never tell because I'm always cross-eyed and so are they, so I can't really see anything.
And then they don't act, there's no mirror, so you can't actually see the cut that they did. There's just a reflection.
They're shaving you bald anyway, so what do you need the mirror for?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, check your vanity at the door. This is a place. Exactly. This is a holy place.
Just a spot.
Any other advice for this person that doesn't want to make it weird when they're getting their hair cut?
I would say just do what I do, man. Don't go to a barbershop. Just cut your own hair. Do it.
Yeah,
you're going to fuck it up at least a dozen times.
Do you get any anxiety, though, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, should I say something?
No, I'm pretty comfortable talking to myself.
Okay, good. I mean, pulling out some of our lessons from our last round of advice with the last question, you could also pretend you're deaf, just like Daredevil and Cyclops, and just wear big noise canceling headphones or something.
Point at your ears and shake your head. Like
you're wearing the big headphones and they just shave around them, so you just have a whole.
That would be amazing.
That's
oh
incredible.
That would be a sweet do.
Oh my god. So they shave the entire head except for the frame around your ears, which just has 3-inch tufts of hair.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like there should be a name for that cut. Maybe the Gremlin? I don't know. But
Roots by Dre.
Roots by Dre.
Oh man. Oh.
Okay. I think that's good. I feel like we squeezed all the advice and all the wisdom we could out of ourselves. We pumped and thrusted, and we released that wisdom.
God.
Every drop.
It's just powder coming out at this point, so.
Oh, God.
Just empty shells.
Yeah, little husks.
All right. I say we bid our listeners adieu, but before we do, a quick shout-out to everybody. And some shout outs to Rand. Thank you, Rand, for joining our show. Sergeant McFifty Cal, Frogwump, which is also Rand. Maybe I shouldn't say that so people don't send
that's my brother, out. Actually. It's Aram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. I think we've been giving him shout outs for the past 5 times. So.
Dude, just keep giving them, man.
Summer, Samina, Tim, Chad, Greta, Amanda. And who was the fan that sent us a question? I don't know your name. Corey. Thank you, Corey. Thank you guys so much. We also, if you guys want to chat with us, we have our Discord. We'll put that link in the show notes. So that's all free. You can come in, chat with the bros. If you would like to donate to our cause, we'll also leave the link of our Patreon page where we dish out some extra bonus content. It's like some frosting or whipped cream on top of our classic traditional dishes or episodes. So you'll get a little extra treat there for as little as $2 a month, which is like, I don't know, a box of Franzia. So if you're going to your wine parties with your bros, that's just one less box. I'm sure you guys will get by with the other boxes.
I think that's way less than a box of Franzia.
Dude, Franzia.
Like a king-size Snickers.
Okay, whatever, a king-size Snickers. So when you're at your Franzia party, you'll just have be set back one Snickers bar. So yeah. Anyway. Follow us on Twitter, HyperbolePod. And if you want to ask us a question, you can reach us anywhere that we described with Discord, Twitter, or if you want to email us, ask us anything at hyperbolepodcast.com. And
the walls
that's it.
The public bathroom.
Or the no, for the love of God, no public bathroom. Please do not.
Private bathrooms only.
Yeah, right? Sorry, private. If I'm in your house and I see it, I will respond.
Private bathrooms. Yes. Or sergeant bathrooms or the sort. But anyway, thank you so much. And we rub you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Signing off, sergeant bathroom.
Bye-bye.
Hyperbole.